AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday. Good to be with you today. Matt, Brett. Brett, we are a little more than a week away from the primary here in Minnesota. Huge race, by the way, tomorrow in Ohio, which will tell you if Republicans will be running for their lives for the next few months. That Ohio 12 should be a 20-22 point win for the Republicans most elections. Democrat now, new poll has him leading. And good news, they sent in Donald Trump this weekend. So I'm feeling pretty confident for the Democrats.
This is a special election, not a primary?
This is a special election, special election there. This is supposed to be, you know, unbeatable Republican seat, and they're looking pretty weak right now. If that seat goes to the Democrats, and if it goes by anything like 4 or 5 points, you're going to just hear it'll be, you know, like SpongeBob on fire screaming, running around. Because I don't know if that. The only thing they can do is do like a deer in the headlights and stop and hope that the car doesn't see them. You know, that's their thing. That's about their extent. A lot to get to today, but we're going to start off with Democrat of the day. This is homeschool. This is us here at the station by the shores of the beautiful Bryant Lake. We're in 49B. Now, Paul Rosenthal has been the representative here for many years. He is not running again. It is an open seat. It is a seat the Republicans would love to pick off because it is some of the wealthier communities. I mean, it's got the west side of Bloomington. It's got parts of Edina and parts of Eden Prairie in it. But this is a seat the Democrats need to hold. It's been good Democratic territory for a while, and Steve Elkins is hoping that it will stay with the DFL in this upcoming election. Steve Elkins is kind enough to join us running for 49B. Good afternoon, Steve.
Thanks, Matt.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate you having the time here. You represent the radio station, so.
Yes, the radio station is within District 49B.
Well, we'll get to our laundry list of demands here momentarily. Actually, no. We'll start off with the fact that you actually have had some public service experience here. I mean, you're a District 5 representative for the Met Council. You have been there since 2011, correct?
Since 2011, as appointed. Prior to that, I was a city council member in the city of Bloomington from 2001 to 2011, almost 10 years. And before that, even, I was a planning commissioner and traffic commissioner in the city of Bloomington. So I've got over 20 years of public service, actually, to the folks of Bloomington.
Well, and I'll tell you what, one of the things it's great to hear you say that, I was on Hopkins Planning and Zoning. And for a lot of people, I've always said to them, I mean, first of all, there was a tremendous, I'm no longer doing that. I was doing that for a while. It was a tremendous way to go help back and give to a community. But also, if people are interested in possibly running for office, it's a great, great little place to go. You know, your local community, your park board, your school board, in some cases, planning and zoning committee. These are great places as a kind of an incubator for politicians.
It is. It's a great place to learn, especially planning commissions. When I was on the Bloomington City Council, 5 out of 7 of the city council members were former planning commissioners. It's a great grounding for that kind of a job.
Joining us right now, Steve Elkins. And by the way, Steve, just FYI, your phone's kind of going in and out a little bit here. Hopefully it will hold with us here. You decided, though, that you've been with the Met Council here for a while. And obviously, this was an open seat. You decided now was the time to try to run for the Minnesota House.
Yeah, well, Paul is retiring. He needed to take a job that would enable him to pay college tuition for his children. And so I was something I've wanted to do for a while, and with Paul's retirement, it opens up a path for me to do it. So running with Paul's support, this is a hard decision for him to make, but and not only endorsed by Paul himself, but by the mayor and pretty much the whole city council and all of the other elected officials in town as well. So it's a good opportunity for me.
Well, and it is a great district. Basically, Bloomington from Highway 100 to 169, correct?
Basically, in northern Bloomington, it extends as far east as France Avenue, and then it's, of course, Edina as well, south of about 70th Street, and then the little northeast corner of Eden Prairie where the station is, and the very southeast corner of Minnetonka.
The Opus Complex and stuff. So it is an interesting district for this reason, is you've got a tremendous amount of businesses. You've got a very large corporate entity that's there. But you also have, you know, some of, and let's be honest, some of the nicer neighborhoods, you know, upper middle class, lower upper class neighborhoods, and upper class neighborhoods for sure. But this is, as people we generally think, oh, those are Republicans. No, this has been a Democratic district for a while.
Yeah, when I first moved into the neighborhood 33 years ago, wife and I live near Lake Normandale in Bloomington. You would think at that time it was thought of as a pretty solidly Republican district, but it was a moderate kind of mainstream Republican district. They supported people like Bill Belanger and Arnie Carlson. And what I'm seeing as I knock on the doors in the same neighborhoods, 25 years after I first knocked on doors for Coral Houle and Gene Winstead, is that all of these former Republicans now self-describe as independents. And I can knock on these doors as a Democratic candidate and have really good conversations with people who are really sympathetic to what the Democratic Party is doing right now.
It is a change I noticed too. I went to Edina High School in the 1980s, and even then you were starting to see, I mean, there was, I don't want to say it was overnight by any means, but there was, people were starting to kind of get a little bad taste in their mouth with Reagan, especially towards the end of his term. And I mean, that's when you started seeing Democrats really start making changes. And as you said, most of the Republicans back then would firmly be within the Democratic Party today. I mean, it's you know, the Republicans today are nowhere near anything what was a moderate. It is nope. Definitely changed.
Yeah, I remember, I was actually one of those Republicans. If you go back to the 1990s, but I remember when I think it was 1996 when Alan Quist challenged Arnie Carlson for the Republican nomination for governor. I remember going back and looking at the vote afterwards, and in my precinct, Arnie had beaten Alan Quist 85% to 15%. So it's never been a hard right district.
I always tell people back in 1992, I walked into a voting booth. I didn't know who I was going to vote for. I voted, I had HW, I had Bill Clinton, I had Ross Perot, and I did vote for Bill Clinton back in 1992. But there used to be times where I would vote for a Republican, and then, for me, it was the Iraq War. As a veteran, you do not send troops into a place like that. And that was kind of what soiled me. I said, I'm never voting Republican again. You just don't do that to the troops. And I've never looked back. It's not like there's been any resentment here. I was like, no, I went the right way. I feel pretty good about this. The district, you talk about some of the issues that are facing the district, because once again, it is a unique experience for you as a politician, because there's a lot of districts where road upgrades and stuff like this, there's a lot of great roads, the one thing you're talking about, planning and zoning, there's always been a great turnaround and reinvestment in the community in these areas, and with the high tax base, you've got nice schools, you've got nice roads already. So what are some of the issues that you're really wanting to champion for 49B?
Well, in this district, both the Bloomington portions and the Edina portions, really the whole district, people move into these neighborhoods for the schools, and that's the case in all four of the cities. Really, they move in their 30s because they want their kids to be in the best school. So, one priority has to be making sure that the schools are adequately and consistently funded. We're in one of those cycles right now with the Republican legislature where the burden of funding the schools is getting pushed back to local property taxpayers. And that's hard for the senior demographic, which is also very large in this district as well. So I think we need to get the school funding back onto this, more onto the state general fund. That's one thing. Transportation is still a big issue, though we seem to have had sudden breakthroughs just within the last year or so. Some of the projects that I've been working on throughout my 20-year career are suddenly coming to fruition, things like the reconstruction of the 35W-494 interchange, the Orange Line Bus Rapid Transit, adding a MinPass lane to 494, and in my immediate neighborhood, adding the East Bush Lake Road on ramp onto westbound 494, and the safety improvements that were just completed on Normandale Boulevard in Bloomington, those are all projects that I advocated for over 20 years before they finally got funded. But on transportation funding, the big challenge coming up is going to be, we pay for our roads mostly with gas taxes, vehicle ownership tabs, tab fees, and actually property taxes are actually the biggest source of funding for roads and bridges right now as well. But we're looking at an era where most of the cars are electric, most of the cars will be shared. Gas taxes and vehicle ownership taxes aren't going to raise a lot of money. So one of the things that I know I'll be working on is how do we replace those revenue sources in order to keep our roads, bridges, and our transit adequately funded.
I like what you described with both Normandale and then the West Bush Lake Road, because I'm just going to say this. At one point, I was a traffic reporter. And as you talk about these things, I can't agree with you more. There was just a ham-handed design process on a lot of this stuff that did not force – it was only seems like we've taken care of the problem for the minute that the ribbon was cut on whatever was done, and at no point was there a thought process about 30, 40 years down the road. And a lot of it – and I imagine you see this too – is there's a lot of places now the priority is that 30, 40, 50-year game plan. What's our future going to look like? And it's nice to see that we're kind of correcting some of these issues, because you're right. I mean, there was just a ham-handed nature to some of these projects that just were not conducive for the local community to be able to use the highways and the interchanges as properly as they should.
Yep.
By the way, I was on Normandale. That looks really nice. I went south. I was down there about 3 weeks ago. I hadn't been down there forever. Boy, they sure have done a great job on Highway 100. Or it's Normandale south, is 100 south of 494, and that whole stretch looks a lot better.
Yeah, and it's a lot safer. That was mostly about safety. People were getting rear-ended, making left turns into the neighborhoods around there. And so with this project, we put in left turn bays to eliminate those rear-end accidents.
The district, as I say, 49B, this is one that the Republicans, when Paul decided not to run again, they marked this one with a red marker. They're trying to pick this up. What is your, as you go around and talk to the district and you do the door knocking and you're going out and talking to the people, what is your feeling? I mean, in the age of Trump, I can't believe that the Republican message, especially after Kurt Dowd and what the House Republicans have done in this state, is real appetizing whatsoever.
No, like I said, most of the people I'm talking to at the door are self-described independents, and one of the big issues is just the dysfunction of the state legislature the last year. One of the things I'd like to do, one of the first things you kind of have to do it before you can do any other business, is reform the House rules to see that the single subject rule in the Constitution is actually enforced in the way the House does business. Mm-hmm. This practice of bundling everything together into just a couple of humongous bills in the hope that the governor will sign them and take the bad along with the good, it was a train wreck this year, and people noticed, and that's not the way they want their legislature to work.
Well, and it's not just been this year. This has been Kurt Dowd and the Republicans' plan ever since they took over, is they don't want people seeing what's in these bills, because it generally is getting written out of state by the people that are pulling the strings on the party. And that's so it's not even bills that are written for Minnesotans. It's basically some sort of ALEC-fueled or, national-fueled legislative agenda, which they don't want to see the light of day until 3 hours before you have to vote.
Yeah, most of the legislators are voting on bills that they've never had a chance to read right now.
Mm-hmm. And 1,000 pages. That was what, wasn't it? 1,000 pages. They gave them 3 hours to read a 1,000-page bill this year. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I can't read that fast.
No one can read that fast. It is a problem, and there are rules on the books. It's just that Kurt Dowd says I'm going to ignore them, and no one is holding them accountable. So I think it'd be nice to actually have some mature leadership there. Are you doing door knocking? You're doing phone calling? Do you need some volunteers to come help you out down in 49B?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm door knocked 4 days in the last 4 days in a row, and be doing more of it this week. That's really the key to winning these kinds of hard-fought races. So I'm door knocking with every available minute at this point.
Well, and trust me, the Republicans, from what I've heard, and this is not just for 49B, but a lot of districts, they are very hesitant to go out and door knock right now because they don't want to have to defend agendas that they can't possibly defend. And of course, where's the health care? That's not around either. So you're seeing a lot of them. They might go to one or two specific precincts within a district, but they're not going around to the whole district. So this is a way that the Democrats can hold 49B, volunteer if you can, donate if you can. Once again, 49B is a Democratic seat. We want to keep it in the Democratic coffers. What is the website? If someone wants to find out more information about your campaign, Steve, how do they do it?
Very simple. Elkins for House.
Elkins for House. E-L-K-I-N-S for F-O-R House.com. Elkins for House.com. I'll link to that a little bit later on. If you can donate, if you can volunteer, this is not, this is a pretty easy district to get to, and we need to hold this district so we can hold, the Republicans accountable. That's for sure. Elkins for House.com.
We're going to be door knocking every Thursday and Friday evening and every Saturday and Sunday afternoon for the indefinite future here.
All right. Well, going up to November, we got work to do. What are you doing to make the blue wave happen? Well, get down and help out in 49B. Elkins for House. Steve Elkins, Democrat of the day. Steve, I really appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Matt.
My pleasure. Steve Elkins joining us. 49B. It is Democrat of the day. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
We need Richard Painter in the United States Senate. I'm Mari Pokanowski, and the former president of the DFL Feminist Caucus. Our democracy is under siege by the Trump administration. Foreign influence is unchecked as politicians exploit power for private gain rather than for public good. The corruptive influence of money in politics makes government unresponsive to the people. For 25 years, Richard Painter has been speaking out against corruption on Wall Street and in Washington. Now, we need him fighting for us in the Senate. He'll fight foreign-owned mining companies seeking to pollute our waterways. He's not taking any PAC money and will fight against money in politics and corruption on all levels of government. He'll fight to initiate investigations and hearings for the treasonous behaviors of President Trump. This is a unique candidate. Please join me in voting for Richard Painter in the DFL primary on August 14th.
I'm Richard Painter, and I approve this message.
Ad prepared and paid for by Painter Minnesota.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Our weekly Native American talk radio show will discuss national and local Native American news and events. Local and national guests will help us keep current with Mother Earth, tribal, and Twin City issues. Native American issues are human issues. We invite all people to walk hand in hand with our struggles, victories, and achievements. Listen Saturdays at 2 p.m.
I am awake.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Being a dog is awesome, except when you really gotta go, but you're stuck inside. That's why I had my human call the Urban Dog. Daily walks, field trips, play groups, one-on-one time, safe off-leash play, and pet sitting. I love being an Urban Dog.
The Urban Dog works with your schedule and can create a plan that fits your needs. The Urban Dog. Exercise, explore, socialize. Let the journey begin. Call 651-231-6333. That's 651-231-6333.
Steve Elkins, 49B, Democrat of the day today. I'm going to try. I'm not going to hold my breath here because these guys' schedule is just so tough. I'm going to try. I got 10A, I think, scheduled for tomorrow. Then in the next 4 days before the primary day, I'm not going to do any Democrat of the day on primary day, period. I'm going to stay away from that. But I'm going to try to get Aaron Murphy, Tim Walz, and Lori Swanson back on before we get to the primary. I'm going to try.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah. I'm going to try. We'll give it a shot, see if they're available to have them on, because I want to give them all one final chance to make their final pitch here before the primary. Hello to everyone watching on Facebook. Go to AM 950 Radio on Facebook. You can watch the show if you so desire. So, Brett, I went out today, had the kiddos. We went out to the Rose Garden over by Lake Harriet. Lovely out there. Which meant I got to drive past the Lake Calhoun area. And I brought my garden shears, so all those guys that were in the hammocks, I could cut their lines and they could drop to the ground like a fool. Ha, 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 you're welcome. You're welcome. If you want, someone asked me one time, so what do you would describe the hipster movement at? The hipster movement is, look at me, look at me, look at me. Because, and nothing epitomizes this more than the hammocks. Because, let me get this right. You live in the Twin Cities, right? Yeah, all right. You could stay at home. You could even put that in your backyard, which I guarantee you is going to be a heck of a lot quieter than Lake Calhoun, and nap all day back there. But no, you go on out and make a theatrical presentation by tying your hammock to two trees and sleeping, quote-unquote, sleeping in the park. Stop it. Stop it. But I will say this. I had a revelation, Brett, as I was cutting one of the hammocks down with some guy who was wearing a decorative scarf going thump to the ground. We have got to hear our at AM 950 Radio, at the Matt McNeil Show, we have our own hipster-geared product. Tricycle.
Oh, that's right, yes.
We are going to, after the electric scooters downtown, which were geared towards the hippers, look at me, look at me, look at me. We have said, all we have to do is market this thing correctly to hipsters, and we can do this. So we've started our own company, Tricycle, which is the number 3-C, upside down triangle, another small C, a big L, small E. I have no idea. It's just, it looks weird and different, so hipsters are going to love it. And basically, it's just a tricycle. It's not like you actually have to, pedal it. Or it's going to have a motor. You have to actually pedal it. But we're going to put two winter tires on the back of the tricycle. And then the front tire is going to be like one of those 1910 bikes. And we'll steampunk the living daylights out of the thing, okay? So these guys will be gaga for it. Look at me, I'm on a tricycle. And I'm like, yeah, that's it. So that's what I'm going to do. But catch this. Catch my new marketing campaign, all right? We're out at Lake Calhoun. There's a hammock zipped up on the lake. Slowly, the hammock unzips. And like a monarch butterfly emerging from a chrysalis, a tricycle comes out of the hammock pouch and into the hands of some goateed, goat cheese eating, wearing glasses he doesn't need, hipster freak. Huh? And off he goes. You can't tell me that they won't be gaga for it. They'll go crazy. It came out of a hammock. I mean, we could actually maybe have the tricycle go down like a slack line or something like that too, or juggle or something like that as it goes over to the waiting hipster who's eagerly saying, "I'm going to be the first one on this." And hey, our bike, our tricycle hipsters, it's going to make you look cool. Not like there are some guys that were out on those unicycle things that are the motorized unicycles, one wheels.
A motorized unicycle?
They're one wheels. We've seen these things, right? These losers were out on these things. There's over by Eden Prairie Center. I was like, oh, for God's sakes, hipsters. And just stop it. Stop it. You're not going to look dorky like that when you're on our tricycle. Not in the least bit. It is going to be cool, and it will emerge from a hammock on the shores. Well, I said, Badeska. That's it. There you go. Former. That's what it's going to be. It's going to come on out of the. It's hammock like a monarch butterfly coming out of a chrysalis. I think it's going to work, man. We could make some money on this. We already have something like, I don't know, I've checked my email. I think we have got something like $567 million worth of startup bid offer money. I don't know why. I haven't even put together a project. They're just throwing money at us. I'm like Walter White. I got to figure out what I can do with this pile of cash.
Just got to go dump those in a bunch of towns like they do with these scooter companies.
No, we're going to do this right. Towns, nothing. We're going to find the most organic of organic businesses and drop them in droves outside, like a flock. Well, don't call it a flock. Let's get like a gang or a troop or something like that. A troop of tricycles. A gang of tricycles that it's out there. And you'll see all the hipsters come to the window. Kind of like a reverse
tricycles.
A school of tricycles. They're going to come to the window like a reverse Dickens novel. They're going to have put down their soy latte, cafe creamer, salted caramel. Will you stop with the frickin' salted caramel? Stop it with the salted caramel. Can I just add that? Stop it. They're going to come up to the window looking like it's winter, Christmas, looking in the store. And they're going to be looking out on the bikes, and they're all going to come filtering out. They're going to get on their tricycle. We got the selfie, because Hunter came up with this one. We're going to put the selfie stick on the tricycle. They can take pictures of themselves as they go, and they'll be off to flourish within their little hipster community. I love this. I just checked the email again. We're up another 100 million. I mean, it's printing money, for God's sakes. We got to get shirts. Mm-hmm. We have to get, maybe we'll see if we can get the shirts before state fair time. I've marked my word. If we just get tricycle and just put the logo, the number 3, mm-hmm. hyphen, small c, upside down triangle, another small c, big L, small e. We gave out like 5 of those shirts and have them walk around. I guarantee you people was, what's that, man? What's that?
Oh, right, right.
If we get them running around the state fairgrounds, it's called building buzz.
Need a scarf with that logo on it,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah. No scarf. I think we'll go with the beret. Should we go with the beret?
A beret would be kind of cool, yeah, if you put like a really subtle logo of it up on the beret.
Or do we get one of those winter caps where they come down like it's a fake beard? Mm. Oh, it comes. Oh, I like that idea.
Why limit yourself? Do all of them.
Yeah. They're just wanting people to look at them. The most more outrageous they can be, the more outrageous. Oh, hipsters, your money will be ours. let's go to John really quick before he wanted to chime in on hammocks. Welcome on in, John.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
I'm good. I just wanted to call in and, say what I appreciate you sharing your views about hammocks. I also feel like this is the probably the least tolerant that I've heard AM950 be. I mean, we're not Rush Limbaugh. You think back to like a time when you were maybe a 20-something. Do you think that the progressive radio station would be criticizing your lifestyle choices?
I don't know. If I had a bed at home I could sleep in, and instead I decided just to, because I wanted people to look at me and pay attention to me, I went and put a hammock out at Lake Calhoun to pretend I'm resting. Yeah, I might be mocked a little bit on that.
Okay, here's the thing about a lot of kids in this city. We are in a city. We are in our yards and not necessarily that big. Maybe we'll have one tree if we're lucky enough to live in a house with people. It's really hard to put a hammock out in a lot of spaces in this city. And I don't know if you've been in a hammock lately, but they're actually extremely comfortable. You should really try it before you knock it.
I have tried. John, I have tried it. And John, here's what I'm going to say. Where I live in Hopkins, there are like 7 or 8 parks that are nearby me, where if I really wanted to, I could go on out into a remote, desolate part of this park, put up a hammock and sleep, and no one would even walk past me. There's 3 or 4 places I know right now just in town of Hopkins. And there are plenty of parks around in Minneapolis where you can do this. If this is about getting rest and relaxation and sleeping, that makes sense if you don't have a place to tie it in your yard. If you really want to sleep out, I mean, if you're looking for rest and relaxation, why you're not in your bed, I don't know. That being said, if you really want to do it and you want peace and quiet, there are plenty of places you can go. When you're going out to Lake Calhoun with the, I don't know, million people that walk around Bede-Makaska, when you're going down Bede-Makaska and there's about 1 million people a day that walk around that thing and all the cars that walk on by and now the electric scooters that are going on by, that's more about you saying, look at me, look at me. This is not, if you're windsurfing, I get it. You need a lake. It's a great lake. It's got a good wind. That's got great wind. Good sailboating, fine. But when you're doing stuff that is basically just look at me, look at me, look at me. Yeah, I'm going to mock and ridicule it, okay? I'm just going to do it. And if you want to label that intolerance because he doesn't get it, well, you're right. I don't get it. I don't get it, dude. I don't get it.
You are the Rush Limbaugh to hammocks.
I am the hipster's Rush Limbaugh.
That's a pretty good line.
Yeah, there we go. Not going to deny that, but you know, maybe it was the salted caramel. Maybe he's one of those guys that just loves that everything salted caramel now. He's like, he went after my salted caramel latte, soy latte. How dare he? Maybe that's what it is. My whole point about salted caramel is that it went from a fringe flavoring to now everything is like salted caramel chocolate, salted caramel mint. Stop it! It's worse than pumpkin spice. It's the summer's version of pumpkin spice. That's what it is. Salted caramel. Sorry I offended you. Sorry I beat up. Sorry I made fun of your hammock. 952-946-6205. Can we make that a liner for the station? Sorry I made fun of your hammock. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
I'm Steve Conklin.
And I'm Jake DeRoff.
We're the hosts of the Mortgage Talk Show, Sundays at 12:30.
Every week we bring you insights on home financing, discussing rates, programs, local and national news.
Whether you're buying your first home or your 100th home, we have tips and inside information to save you money and feel like a mortgage master.
Check us out for more information and email us any questions at mortgagetalkshow.com.
Tune in to the Mortgage Talk Show every Sunday at 12:30 on AM 950.
Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens is the first green cemetery in Minnesota. It's a beautiful, peaceful place where burials are celebrations of life with as little impact on the environment as possible. Tony Weber founded it because he wants to leave a green legacy for his grandchildren, something many of us might feel. Learn more. Visit the website mngreengraves.com. Give them a call. The goal is so meaningful, so positive, it might be right for you. Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens.
This is Lori Swanson. Minnesota's a special place. As your Attorney General, I've stood up to powerful interests to keep it that way.
Lori Swanson.
From taking on drug companies that inflated prices and forcing a corporate polluter to clean up our drinking water, to taking on Donald Trump as he attacks what we value most as Minnesotans. Now I'm running for governor because there's too much at stake to let Donald Trump and the special interests push policies that hurt our state.
Swanson for governor.
As governor, I'll continue to defend health care for everyone, and I'll lower the cost of health care and prescription drugs. I'll work to keep our kids safe in school and defend our schools against drastic cuts that jeopardize our kids' futures and our state's economy. I've been proud to be your Attorney General, and as your governor, I'll keep standing up for what's right and get things done for Minnesota.
Lori Swanson for governor.
Prepared and paid for by Swanson for Governor.
That actually could be one of my favorite calls I've ever had at the station. Matt's intolerance towards hipsters. All right. This is, Brett, you will be my witness here. This is not about ripping on you guys, all right? Stop with your middle of July alpaca sweater, okay, dude? Stop it. Don't try so hard, okay? You're trying hard to impress everyone. You're trying hard to be, you want to have friends. You want to impress the ladies. You want to impress the opposite sex. You want to impress whomever you want to impress. Don't try so hard. You don't have to do that thing. You don't have to wear the fake glasses and the decorative scarf and have to, you know, manually, you know, carve your goatee every morning. You don't have to do this. Learn how to say, hi, my name is blank. How are you? That is my advice. What I'm trying to do is I'm not being intolerant. I'm trying to help you. Before you spend the thousands of dollars on a Matt McNeil Show tricycle or whatever product, the Matt McNeil Show endorsed hammock, before you spend all this money, before you spend all this time, I'm trying to stop you from wasting your time and money by being the only friend that you're going to have that's going to tell you, just don't try so hard. Don't. Just stop. That's been my entire mantra the entire time.
Whatever you say there, hipster Rush Limbaugh.
That's me. Guilty as charged. Oh, Vern, who's out of touch? Not everyone has a backyard, Matt. Oh, thank you. Thanks. Good. Now I got that going for me. 952-946-6205. You want to hear some intolerance? Okay, let me talk about Trump and his followers. Okay. First of all, I was on Friday after the show, I was reading more about this QAnon group. This, you know, basically, it's on Reddit and 4chan and 8chan. It's these people that are spreading these rumors out there. And now, by the way, it sounds like it's actually liberals who are pranking old white Republican voters. Because what they're exposing is that to validate their vote for Trump, they will latch on to anything that they feel validates their vote and their support. And considering there is very little that they can validate with Trump anymore, they basically have gone to this QAnon group, and that they will believe the most unbelievable rumors and innuendo and made up stories, because that's the only way that they can believe. They believe that Hillary Clinton was a pedophile and Barack Obama was actually in drag, and these wild stories, because they feel as if this is the only way that Trump's not great, but God, thank God he wasn't a pedophile. That's where they're at. And then I got a nice reminder on Friday night, like everyone else, that at the end of the day, Donald Trump is the most racist president we've had, probably, and we've had some racist presidents. We've had some racist presidents since the Civil War. But he is clearly, pre-Civil War, one of the biggest racists we've ever had. He hates black people. He hates Latinos. He hates Muslims. He hates the gay population. And he says Nazis and the KKK, there's a lot of good people in there. And it's so bad. I mean, even the disaster he had in Puerto Rico. He goes after LeBron James. LeBron James, you know what he's guilty of? What Trump thinks he needs to be criticized for? Opening a school for kids in Akron and funding that school and giving these kids a good education. He did an interview on that with Don Lemon on CNN. And Trump goes on out and starts insulting them left and right. At this point, and if you don't know what really is going on, he's just trying to find another group of black people to attack, because the NFL is kind of blown up in his face. He was going after the NFL. He was insisting the NFL was horrible. The NFL was having the worst year. The NFL just had their best, most financially successful year on record. And even though you had the coach in Miami and the coach and the owner in Miami and the owner in Dallas both say, we're not going to tolerate this, the NFL has quickly come down saying, no, we're going to allow our players to have freedom of speech. We're not going to allow this clown show to continue. So Trump needs a new black enemy. And so he goes after LeBron James, of all things, because the guy on his own funded a school in Akron, Ohio. He is just the most racist pig I have ever seen. And this is where we're at. But it was the fact that yesterday, and I mean, folks, yesterday was a banner day for this guy, because yesterday he admitted again. I mean, he admitted with Lester Holt, you know, that he fired Comey because he was investigating Trump Russia. He wanted him to stop investigating. But now he admits his campaign met with Russia to get dirt on Hillary Clinton, knowingly. He admits his campaign, and he even throws his son under the bus, Trump Jr., on this thing. He basically, anyone that was in that room, Kushner, Manafort, Bannon, and Trump Jr., I think those were the four that were in there. I think Manafort, Bannon, Kushner, and Trump Jr.? I think those were the four campaign reps in that room. All of them just got thrown under the bus because they've all now been said, oh, yeah, that was all a lie. You guys purposely met with the Russians to get dirt from a foreign country on your political opponent here. At the end of it, he basically said, I did not know about it, which there's your clue. Trump is only in this for himself. He will throw his son, his son-in-law, and his campaign officials under the bus just to try to get himself free and clear. I don't know if you've seen, there's been now a media lockdown on the White House because no one wants anyone asking anyone to do about what this, you know, him admitting that this collusion happened. And also his advisors are begging him to stop tweeting for a while. Stop tweeting. Don't say a damn thing. There's even some people have suggested that he should resign, allow Pence to do a quickie pardon and get away from this, because that's the only way that he can get away from this at this point. If you saw the picture, a lot of people were sharing this picture today. Unfortunately for Trump supporters, the reality is they actually, the day after the election on November 9th, 2016, I made the point, trying to make sense of any of this. I said, Republicans hate Democrats more than they love their own well-being, their religion, and their own country. And there have been many things I've said that have been okay. That is the most spot-on political analysis I've ever had in my life, because every stinking day I have been proven to be correct on that assessment. Republicans hate Democrats more than they love their country, their well-being, and their religion. The picture that has been going around, and I actually posted it as well, of two Republicans at a Trump rally saying, I'd rather be Russian than Democrat. Let me get this right. You're saying to me that as opposed to the federal government doing a Democratic plan where you get health care that's cheaper, more comprehensive, and doesn't bankrupt you if, God forbid, something bad happens, you would rather have Russia, a country run by an evil dictator and his mob-like business partners around him, a country where hundreds of political opponents and journalists have been murdered. He has murdered people on foreign soil. He has locked up thousands of his opponents in jail, and they are not going to see the light of day. You would rather have that than rights for the gay people, or rather have that than a more comprehensive mass transportation policy. That's what you're saying. You are broken people. And I can't help you. You are just broken to the core. I also said on that show on the day afterwards, most Republican voters could walk in on their house, found their spouse having sex with Donald Trump, and the first words out of their mouth will be, "Damn Democrats!" That is exactly who these people are. They are broken people, and they're not worth us talking to. Get those 110 million people that didn't vote to the polls, and let's shut these clowns up for good. All right? Mike in Columbia Heights, you didn't hold on. I was about to get your call. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Call back, Mike. I'll get your call here in just a second. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Oh, no. You shattered your cell phone. Now what? Listen closely. We know you're lost without your phone. Bring it to Computer Revolution today. We'll fix it and have you back online before someone asks, "Where are you?" Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair has over 18 years experience fixing computer devices, all brands, all carriers. Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. We fix phones, same day, 7 days a week.
The only thing more truly Minnesotan than our weather is our state fair. So Standard Heating and Air Conditioning decided to make the most of them both with our state fair sale. Install a high-efficiency furnace by September 3rd, and you can also get a new air conditioner starting at just $2,500. That's a whole lot of comfort and peace of mind for not a lot of money. Discover how you can take advantage of Standard State Fair sale at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Comfort you deserve.
Hi, this is Charlie. My dad is Minnesota's wildly popular and handsome radio host, Matt McNeil. Did I say that right, Dad?
Perfect!
When I got my driver's license, my parents let me drive a Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota. I love it. It's easy, comfortable, and hauls all my baseball gear. And my parents love the safety. That's why they wanted me in the Sienna.
Thanks to Rudy Luther Toyota, my son is safe as he begins his driving adventure. We're a two Sienna family thanks to Rudy Luther Toyota. Visit them today in Golden Valley at 169 and 394.
Get your windows washed before the fall rush. Blue Sky Surfaces' final sale before fall is this month only, where you can get up to 25 window panes washed inside and out for only $129. Call 651-447-4484. No matter the job size, August is the time to save money on your window cleaning. So beat the fall rush and take advantage of Blue Sky Surfaces' August sale prices. Call 651-447-4484. That's Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio. News flash about my show. It's now an hour long, running from 7 to 8 a.m. every Monday. The longer time slot will allow for interviews of idealists doing important work in the world. Ellie 2.0 Radio. Listen every Monday from 7 to 8 a.m. My show. It's engaging and real, and it's on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Larry Hill Meats is the localminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Fantastic food over there. I love heading over there. Beef, lamb, goat, pork, and poultry. 40 rotating recipes on the sausages, and of course, the great sandwiches too. 1934 Hennepin Avenue in Minneapolis. Lowry Hill Meats, the localminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Mike's back. Mike in Columbia Heights called back here. Mike, thanks for calling back. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Matt. Everything seems so trivial when you look at what goes on with Trump.
Oh, God.
Last week, you had John Hewitt on, and John Hewitt had touched on nursing home issues and senior issues just a little bit. He had mentioned it, that he was going to carry the ball for that. Well, my wife is involved with that, and there's a group of people that are involved. And Halsley is chairman of the Aging and Senior Committee or something like that. She, her and Abler had these hearings that, they never even discussed the governor's plan for dealing with the seniors and the senior problems. They just went around and they just kind of humored everybody and they just kind of made statements. And, you know, Abler put his glasses on his forehead and was pretending like he was really concerned. And what do? They take and they pass an omnibus bill that doesn't have anything to do with seniors. All it is a big, fat, ripe plum for the corporate nursing homes. Well, then yesterday I find out that, hey, there's a senior protection bill where seniors can't loan their kids money or buy their kid's car or make any big expenditures in their kid's name without being investigated, without asking permission from the bank or from their financial investor guy, you know, their financial advisor. And the financial advisor and the banker can put an ixnay on it. You know, like everybody's out to cheat their parents. Everybody's out to take the money that their parents have saved up. And so the state of Minnesota has to step in.
And Mike, by the way, did you just hear what you said? A financial advisors now have to get paid to sign off on something like that. That was a big handout to them because they created a need for a service. Like when they basically said, all closets now need to have a smoke detector, even though the smoke detector might be right outside the closet, they now need one in the closet. That was a handout to the smoke detector companies. This is the same exact thing. This was a handout to the financial planners who basically now you have to basically get their approval to spend your own money.
Right. And I told my wife, who's into this thing, she went down all those hearings. I said, did you hear that? And she goes, yeah. And she says, and they passed that as a standalone bill. But they couldn't pass regulations on the corporate nursing home industry because that has to go through an omnibus bill because then they know none of the governor's points are in there, so he's going to veto it. It's just such an outrage, Matt. It just old people are there to be sheep to be shorn, according to these nursing home companies. 11 grand a month, stuff like that. I got to go. I'm upset.
And Mike, I can understand. You should be upset, and we all should be upset. Is that, you know, once again, the Republicans say, we're here for the seniors. Oh, but seniors, you need to pay a financial advisor some money just to give your own money away to your kids. That's what that is. And don't get me wrong, there is some fraud out there, and that happens. But is this really the solution to basically line the pockets of financial planners with money from grandma just to get them to spend their own money? Come on. By the way, he was talking about John Hewitt. That was the Democrat of the Day from Thursday, 57B, and an excellent interview on that one. We have that up on the Democrat of the Day page on SoundCloud. You can go listen to that there. Civil rights group on Monday called for an immediate release of the identities of the police officers who shot and killed a man early on Sunday at a home in St. Paul. The ACLU of Minnesota also urged authorities to identify the man who was shot after police were called to the second-story unit, the 900 block of St. Anthony Avenue, just north of Interstate 94 in the Summit University neighborhood. Officers who were dispatched to the call before about shots being fired in an apartment arrived at 2:30 a.m., and two of them shot an armed man, police say. The officers were wearing body cameras, which were activated, and the footage has been turned over to the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. which is conducting an investigation. While authorities have yet to say whether the shooting occurred in the property or outside, emergency dispatch audio indicated the gunfire occurred inside. No officers were injured. The officers involved have been put on standard paid administrative leave. Mary Pinales, who lives in the attic above where the man resided and was asleep when the gunfire erupted, said police hustled her out of the home and lifted her over the body as it lay on the floor at the front of, at the foot of the stairs leading to the front porch. He was bleeding and I could tell he was dead, said Pinales, who saw no weapon near the man and heard no gunfire until after police arrived. Pinales said he had lived in the building for about 6 months. He was moved in soon after. She knew that little else about him, including his name, but said he was possibly in his 40s. He was a quiet person who did maintenance around the property. Well, I bring this up. Now, first of all, I will say this. It does tweak my interest. Why haven't you released any information about this shooting yet? This shooting happened Sunday, early Sunday morning. It's late Monday afternoon. I mean, is it a case where you're just waiting to try to get in touch with the family? I mean, it sounds like that could possibly be a very rational, logical explanation. But anytime it takes a while for them to release this information, I always kind of start getting a buzz in my ear. But it was the comment she made about, I didn't hear gunfire. People were called to that place because of gunfire shots. She lives right above him. She didn't notice any gunfire until he was shot and killed. Which brings up an interesting point that I've had numerous people present to me since we talked last week about the Blevins shooting. Because reminder about Blevins. Blevins was reported to have shot a gun in the air. Police show up, go, blah, 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 blah. Scare the guy, clearly. He takes off running. They chase after him. He pulls his gun. They shoot him down. And all of a sudden, people have asked, they said, wait a minute here. Is this really all you have to do to kill someone? Is call the police and say, shots fired? Say you have a friend. Say you have a friend who has a carry and conceal weapon. All right? Say that that friend decides to go out and have a picnic lunch in that local park. Watch this. He's out there enjoying a little sunshine on an afternoon. And you know that friend's there. And that friend has been making you mad for a while. All of a sudden you say, you know what? I'm going to call the cops and say, hey, there's a guy out there with a gun who's firing the rounds. Might not have even fired around. Because there's a lot of people that called in on this radio show that said, well, he fired off rounds, Matt, and then he ran. Okay. And that was worthy of a, once again, that those two things I don't think are worthy of an instantaneous death sentence. He did have a gun in his hand. The officers did have to take a shot at that point. We have once again said, by Minnesota law, what the police officers did in the Blevins case was justified. By Minnesota law, he had a gun in his hand, they took the shot. But the police response and then the chasing, wait a minute here, let me think about this a second. So let me just say that you have a carry and concealed gun, you're in a park, I don't like you, I want you shot. So I just call the cops and say, he's firing off rounds in the park, even though you're just sitting there having your bologna sandwich. Should the officers then be able to, pull up, go, blah, 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 and scare you and maybe you run? And then maybe, well, they see your gun on your holster and they fire on you because he was armed. Is that really that hard to kind of elaborate on? Or is that just because, well, if it was white, Matt, come on, let's be serious. They wouldn't shoot a white guy. Is that really it? All right. Interesting. I'm waiting for more information on the St. Paul shooting. We'll have to find out more later. Doug Badgett in next. We're back tomorrow. Telling.